Going back to Colossians, I've tried to think this week how we wanted to bridge this or where do we go in different directions and things. But hit me to where Colossians just came across again. And last week I spoke of 1 Colossians 1 and 9 through 10, and I ended it, and we spoke about last week about what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. It's very important. We have got to increase knowledge. And once we get that knowledge, and we're not going to jump into that, but then it's to have the wisdom of God to how to use that knowledge. Knowledge is great. A lot of wonderful men and women that have a lot of pent-up knowledge of education and all that, but all they do is they just got it, but are they applying it? Are they using it wisely? So wisdom is an important factor, but before you have wisdom, you got to have knowledge on how to use the things that God has spoken to us. So it said we needed to increase in knowledge. So I'm going to pick up in verse 11. And that's where we're going at today. 11 through question mark. We'll keep going. We'll see how the Lord wants us to lead this along. But you can't get away from the things that what is being said by Paul here in Colossians. In verse 11, it says, strengthened with all might. So we have just come off of where it says, in every good work above that, in increasing in the knowledge of God, and number 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Hallelujah! Woo! That ought to get you excited, amen? That we have been delivered from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And I'll stop there, because I think there's enough to look through there in some of the verbiage and some of the words that are being expressed by Paul. When it talks about that, in verse 12, about partakers of the inheritance, that's an important part. Definition of to partake is this. There's two or three different things here. One of them is to take part in or experience something. We are to take part and we are to experience the inheritance of the kingdom of God. Amen? And what is there for us? Secondly, it could be this, to have a portion of that inheritance. Or it could be to possess or share a certain nature or attribute. So when we look at this here where it says, given thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He wants to give you something. He's got it there to give you. Are you willing to accept it and take it? Do you want it? Are you willing? I hope so, because it just continues to further your progress into that with God, with that into the kingdom concept that he has. We'll see how this works. But we've got to understand the inheritance that is waiting there for us. But it's a continuing understanding and understanding what Paul is sharing about the things of God and what God has for us and what Jesus meant to us. And so we're going to walk through this a little bit. So will you be receiving this inheritance? I hope so. I plan on getting it. Amen. We talk about where God has transferred us or conveyed us, transferred us into his kingdom from the power of darkness. Colossians 1:13 we just read. We have this transfer through the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ. Our sins have been forgiven. And I put in here myself, past, present, and future. Colossians 1:14. And then we look at 1 and 1:15, and it finishes out. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And this is interesting because we're going through a lot of this with the Miles Monroe thing on kingdomship and all, and I can't really say I'm picking it up off of that and coming into these areas of the books of what Paul is writing, but as Miles has said, you know, God has spoken of the kingdom from the beginning to the end. The old prophets have spoke about it. You know, it was spoken heavily by that of Jesus. And now we're finding, you know, continuation for Paul is we keep finding out more of this kingdom here that we are to be a part of. So let's kind of look at this. And as by through that of what? Jesus. Jesus is the visible of the invisible. Okay? So we went through that. So here we go. As I launch off into this and allow the Holy Spirit to kind of formulate and put this all together. Amen? Let's hear from the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm willing to just shut up and you just speak. Amen. So strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. We look at this word power. According to his glorious power. This power is that of like exerted strength, a reigning authority. You know, even though they crucified Jesus, he still had a reigning authority. It just wasn't taking place back at that time. A lot of people were upset with him, not only not as much as the government as it was with the religious leaders talking about who he was. But we find that when we hear this glorious power, glorious strength, exerted strength, a reigning authority for all patience. We come to that word patience there. It could be that of endurance. Bear up in difficult times. We know that Jesus, he bore a lot in difficult times. We today, with Christ as our Lord, we find ourselves having to bear up with a lot of situations in difficult times. And long suffering, as we get into that, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Long suffering, you look at that word and definition, and it flips to this. There, long-suffering is talking about patience. But it's this, that you have the power to react, but you exercise restraint. It's one thing to know who you are in Christ, and it's one thing to know who I am in Christ and lash out with vengeance. Because who says vengeance is? Mine, saith the disciple. No, the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith he. But we've got a power within us. But it's got to be controlled. And it is controlled if we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit talks about it putting us into a dunamis or a dynamite power within us. And meek, when we get into the Word of God of talking about the meek shall inherit the earth, meek is not weak. Meek is just power under control. How many do you know in the church that are of that of Christians, followers of Christ, they've got the power, but they keep it under control? There's a few. And also there's a few that have the power of Christ, but they don't keep it controlled. And so we've got to get to that measure of what he's speaking here, that I know who I am in Christ, I know the power that I have at my availability, but I use it only when that of the Holy Spirit informs me or puts me into that situation and where the Holy Spirit takes care of that. And it's not really me. It's how God says he goes before us to do our battles for us. But after all of that, the glorious power for all patience and long suffering. And why does he have to throw in this word? With joy. Because you find it's hard to have joy in the natural when you're going through a battle. In the natural, when you're going through a battle, you want to lash out. You want to fight. You want to get mad. You're going to get agitated. You're going to get mean. You're going to... But as a child of Christ, when I come into a battle and all, and these things are happening, and bad things happen to good Christian people, rather than get upset and mad and festering about that, the Word of God is always throwing that in there, but with joy. Long-suffering with joy. patience with joy. Because that is, joy and love is like two big things of that of the church of God, to where when people see you walking in love, even in a difficult situation, that's not normal in this world. When you walk in joy in a difficult situation, that's not normal in this world. But we got to realize we're not of this world. We're passing through. We're just strangers, aliens, you know, walking through this place. But we're to exhibit and exhort those things and those qualities. Who do we reflect? In the image of God. We were created in the image of God, reflecting Him. Not in His invisible image, because Christ is that of the visible of the invisible. But when we were created and God created us in His image, we need to take on the attributes of those things of God, of how He showed love, long-suffering, and patience, and all of these things that came down into that of Christ. Oh my goodness, Christ showed us many times, even in the garden. They wanted to arrest Him, and wasn't it Peter that came up? I'll fight for you, Lord! No, put that away. And I'll even heal the ear. Take me, here I am. Why do you come with all these men? Just ask me, I would have come with you freely. Because He was God in the flesh. He knew the end from the beginning. He knew He didn't have to exert force and strength. Oh, He says, I could have called, you know, thousands of angels to come and fight. And you guys would have been wiped out. All that Jesus would have had to do is just go, be gone. But it wasn't the plan. I know for us today, I would love, in some of the situations I get into, wouldn't it be great just to be able to do that? Be gone, sickness! Be gone, frustration! Be gone, this person! Oh, that's the person you're supposed to talk to about love. Be gone! But Jesus gives us a lot of wonderful examples to follow, and it's always not the easiest, but we need to do it. But with joy. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Qualified means primarily to make competent or sufficient, and it's secondly to entitle, to authorize, or enable. So just as God honored Israel by giving that nation Canaan as an earthly allotment, so He has honored each member of the church with the potential of obtaining the inheritance of a spiritual Canaan. What did they call Canaan? The promised land. Lord, God has promised us something. And we'll be there when the time is right and when He calls us. So we got a promised land, amen, where there's no pain, suffering, sorrow, hurts, any of that. But that's for down the road for us. But just know it's there. But don't get fixated on that. Get focused on the things in this world that we need to be a part of changing and to be a part of the process of our Father. We learned this Sunday morning back there. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will, thy purpose. God, let your purpose come into this place. And work that purpose through me if you so seem fit that I'm a willing vessel and I'm able to do it, Lord. Here I am. Send me. I wanted to get out of the way because I don't know where He's going to send me. So it's like, be careful when you start saying those things, you know. But send me, or let me be that representation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, let me understand You. Let me build knowledge of You. Lord God, strengthen me with all might and glorious power. Giving thanks to the Father who, here Paul says, qualifies us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. I am so thankful for that. I hope you are. Delivered us in darkness conveys this idea of salvation, rescuing us from the tyranny of darkness. It's drawing on an important Old Testament theme out of Exodus, where it includes rescue from such negatives as danger, death, sickness, hostile situations in general. You can go to Psalms, but it finds this, that these rescues include both present deliveries and future. Consummated deliveries in the world to come. Conveyed refers to the deportation or transference of captured armies or populations from one country to another. You know, darkness, and we've been conveyed, translated unto us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. So the transference of the believer from under Satan's authority to that of Christ. It's described as a movement into another kingdom. Ensuing verses describe Christ's redemption as bringing us to a place of completeness. You have to believe, you have to come to understand that in Christ there is a completeness. We hear of different ones, and on Thursday I'd shared a video of a band and a leader of a band from back in the 70s, how he was of rock and roll and all the things that he was a part of, but he had lost his spiritual compass and did all kinds of crazy things, as they do, any of us do, when we're out in the world. But he realized that with all the stuff and the notoriety and the fun, money and the nice homes and stuff, he said he was empty inside, or a void inside. The things of this world were not filling that void inside. Many of us today, we find that when we talk to people out in the nation or around our city or friends or whatever, is we find there's void or there's an emptiness in them, and they don't quite understand it, but they just say, I feel empty. I don't feel fulfilled. And you look at them and it seems like everything looks pretty good. But Christ's redemption is bringing us to a place of completeness. And that is of spiritual adequacy, authority, or the ability to live victoriously over and above the invisible power of darkness. We are battling something, and that's what's hard. It's hard to battle something that you don't see, right? It's like shadow boxing. You know, you're just boxing the shadow, you know, just kind of like, ooh, ooh. But we got to understand these things, that what we are battling and dealing with are things of the invisible realm. Here, where we are at in the visible. But as I read God's word and He shares these things with us, I find encouragement. Here again, remember, He strengthened us with might according to His glorious power. And this is all according to Him, not us, but according to Him. Glorious power, patience, long suffering. So let's see, I've got some bookmarks here. So strengthened with all might. I'm going back up in verse 11. So here we go. This becomes functionally true as opposed to merely theoretically. So this is all true stuff that we're hearing and what we read in the Bible. It's not theory. It's just not something that's out there that, oh, it sounds good. But these are things that are practical and things that actually function. This becomes functionally true as opposed to merely theatrically so, or theoretically so. When we, one, live and love as citizens of the heavenly kingdom. And I'm going to go to Philippians 3:20. I'm going to start in 17. Brethren, join in following. This is Philippians 3:17. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. We need a pattern. We need something to follow. And what better to follow than who? Christ. And now this is Paul as he's sharing these things. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Verse 19. Verse 20, it says, now, for our citizenship is where? In heaven. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that he may be that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. But getting back to understanding our authority and where we're at as far as utilizing the kingdom, it says here in verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior." Our citizenship. So I'm a citizen of America, but I'm only passing through. You know, I've got where I was born here. But when I received Jesus Christ, I was reborn. My citizenship is there back in where? Heaven. And that's where we are focused on, as understanding where our end is about and where we're working as far as our heavenly place, you know. But my place, therefore, again, citizenship is in heaven. Now, as we go through this, live and love as what? Citizens of the heavenly kingdom, Philippians 3:20. Then we get into what? Utilizing this kingdom's currency, which is of irresistible value. Acts 3:6. Now, 3:6, it says this. And then Peter says, now this is the lame man that is healed. Remember as Peter and John, they went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. And at ninth hour, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom he had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And he'd asked for alms of those that entered. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at this." And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter says this, "Look at us." And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter says what? "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The healing of that man was invaluable. There was no value as far as gold and riches that would be worth that of what? Being healed. But what happened? And he took him by the right hand, he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he leaped up and stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. So we find out that utilizing this kingdom's currency, which is of irresistible value, amen. There's a value, but it's not valued by the earth's value, and what man puts on value. And that's kind of good, because as we've noticed so much in the mankind and what man values and how he puts value on things, has anybody ever seen the value what man puts on things go up and down? It's the waves of whatever's happening, you know. If it's short, they raise the price, you know. If they can't get enough, you know, they raise the price. Or if there's too much in the commodity, the prices go down. But with God, the main thing is it's not silver and gold. Now, there's plenty of that, okay, in the kingdom of God. In heaven, streets are what? Streets are paved with gold. But it's much more important, much more valuable, is to have that relationship with Jesus Christ and to know what he has for you and what he can do through you and what we're to do with it. And we're to be that vessel here upon this earth to show the value of these things of God. Oh, look at me. Oh, well, you've got it made. You've always said, no, let me tell you about my past and where Jesus met me or where I met him and what has transpired since then. It's called our testimonies. And, oh, I don't have the money. You know, you go out and now it's out on the streets where somebody says, hey, you have any change? You have a five? You have something? Well, no, I'll take you to get a hamburger. I'll go and buy you a cup. No, just give me the money. Well, it's because they want the money for other things. They had other motives. The world has other motives out there. But we have got to be wise. We'll meet the need, but I ain't going to be used. How about you? Hallelujah. But silver and gold I have none. But let me tell you about Jesus. And I doubt if they would be wanting to hang around and hear about that unless the prompting of the Spirit told them that or something, I'm sure. And never discount to that. It can happen. But try to meet their need. But, you know, silver and gold, I have none. But let me tell you about my Jesus. Hallelujah. Huh. Operate as ambassadors. I love this. Miles has shared this, and we read these things, that we're ambassadors. Amen. Operate as ambassadors authorized to offer kingdom peace and reconciliation to those who yet unrenewed in Christ. Now, this is all of these things about he has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us or conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We have been delivered from this power of darkness. And these are the things that we're to be doing, showing love, sharing that of Christ, Let me help you. What I can do for you. Thirdly, as ambassadors, authorized. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:20. I'm going to go, God's word is so good. Let's go to 5:12 and 2 Corinthians 5:12. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. I'll give you more than a song, looking into our hearts, but not in the heart. That's where it's got to be. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of God, the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Verse 15. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. It's an important part, that those who live no longer, we are no longer ourselves when we receive Jesus Christ, amen? When we have been reborn, we are no longer ourselves. We have been bought with a price, the blood of Christ. And we're serving him, and we're to be used by that of God. And I have got to that understanding that I am no longer myself. I'm serving God. Are you serving God? And if we get into that level of serving God, we come to the understanding that I am not of myself. I've got to surrender myself to him. Now, is he going to, you know, twist my arm and do a lot of things this way because I've turned my life over to him? No, no, no. He's a loving, caring God. But he does have a plan for each and every one of us in this room today. Then as you surrender yourselves to him, he is available then to say, okay, now that you have surrendered yourselves to me, here's what I got for you, my son, my daughter, my child. And this is what I would like for you to do. But I can't do that. I know you can't do that, my son. But I'm going to do that through you and in you. And it's going to be my strength and my ability in you to do these things. All you've got to do is say, here I am. I, one time, many years back, had thought about this, that I guess this shows us our age, and I watched an old show last night on Decade TV for a little bit, but back when they had the ventriloquist, remember those guys? It was so neat that those guys had those little wooden things on their legs, and they were talking, and yeah, I started watching and listening to the guy, this puppet, talking, like, huh, the ventriloquist. I said, you know what, as I receive Jesus Christ and I'm serving God, there's sometimes I want to be God's mouthpiece. And if it means being like that of a ventriloquist and I'm just a puppet, let me be a puppet for God so that he can talk through me and speak to others so that it is not me but him just using me. And I'm disconnected, you know. Maybe when we get up here to share a message, it's like, Lord, first of all, you know, speak through us. But maybe we ought to say, first of all, Lord, disconnect my thought process and my mind. And Lord, I just want your mind and to be speaking through this vessel. But anyway, as we look at this, here we go. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, verse 15. And for he died for all, that those who should live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Verse 16, 2 Corinthians 5:16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. Thank you, Lord. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. Verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through who? Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We can look around in the natural and speak of that of reconciliation, and we know what the benefits of that is. Reconciliation is basically just where two people were together or had something going at one time, and something came in and separated that, and they were separate ways. And then all of a sudden, through prayer, counseling, whatever, God, that you know, they reconcile, they come back, and they reconcile. It could be with anything, but in reconciling, it's something where you were there, and then you're separated, but now here we go. What does it say? Through Christ, who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We need to go out and share this message with others to say, hey, God loves you, and he's got a plan for you, and he's made a way for you to get back to him. Has anybody shared that with you? And if they go, no, say, well, let me share it with you if you've got some time, okay? The ministry of reconciliation. And that is, verse 19, and that is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, not reckoning their trespasses to them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are, here's that word, ambassadors for Christ. And as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And in verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It falls back to the love God has for you and how much he wants you to come back to him. And it's like, we cannot say, well, you know what, God, I just didn't know there was any way back to you after I came into this world and I've sinned. I didn't know there was a way back. I thought I was out lost for eternity. No. There's been a way made, that of Jesus Christ. And now there's been a way made working through us and the people that you come into contact with. Listen to their conversations. Listen to what they're going through. And when the Spirit prompts you, begin to share things of God with them that will touch and minister to their spirit. Amen? And I believe and I know, as the Spirit has led and leads you, that you will share a word or something into that life that will cause them to maybe stop and listen or say, how did you know that? Or how did you know I was just asking God about this? Or I had this question, you know, over the last several months. Whatever the case might be. But it's just to be there as an ambassador. We're an ambassador in a foreign land. Amen. Amen. We know that an ambassador, we've talked about those things, an ambassador for America and where they're at in foreign lands. And we know that wherever that ambassador lives and they build an embassy. That embassy becomes what? American property in a foreign land. That property is guarded by American military. It's guarded because it's a sovereign nation of America in a foreign land. The rest of the land around there is all that country. But when they allow us to put an embassy there and an ambassador there, now we come into that country and we say, America has showed up. And we're going to work together with you. As we come into this world and we are put upon this sphere of earth, we are an ambassador. Where I stand and where I am, the kingdom of God is in my surroundings. It's within me. Because the word of God says what? The kingdom of God is within us. So where we go and where we live and where we shop and where we whatever in this world, it's like a little embassy is going wherever we're going. And wherever I'm at, if I'm in a situation, I can begin to pray the power of God into that area to respond to whatever I'm hearing or what is needed and trust God. What? Let thy will be, you know, not thy will, but your will be done, Lord. Allow your purpose to come into this situation, Lord. We sometimes wonder, why are we put into difficult situations? And it's hard. There's things that a lot of you have gone through that I have not, and it's been very difficult. But sometimes we have to look at it and say, Lord, I don't understand this. What is this? Why is this? This is really difficult. What am I to do? How am I to do it? We got to trust God. We got to turn to him, and we got to believe in him. Amen? And I know the one thing the enemy wants to do in any one of our difficult situations, what's difficult for me may not be difficult for you. What you've got going on is more difficult than mine, whatever the case might be. But all I know is the enemy likes to come even into a good Christian person and try to create something that's not. The devil wants to create something in your thoughts to say that God doesn't love you anymore. That God has got this against you. I don't believe God has anything against us, especially a child of God, one that has received Jesus Christ and serving him. I mean, even the sinner out there, out in the lost world, does God really have something against that person? You know what he's got for that person? Love. We hear a lot about the church and what we want to find in the church, and if we can exhibit love above everything else that's out there, that will show something that's not evident in this world. So many people out there say, well, God hates me. Look at what I'm going through. God doesn't love me. How could he love me? Oh my gosh, his word is filled with the love for the lost. So much so that he sent what? We hear John 3:16. For God so what loved the world? That he sent his only begotten son to die for you. He sent his son. He sent the invisible into the visible. To visibly hang on the cross. And then he left so that he could then again send the invisible, the Holy Spirit, to operate in this time that we're at. But don't allow the enemy to continue to fill you with false accusations or things that what God is saying about you or this or that. Those are all lies of the devil to try to get you away from your first love. But we have to come back to that first love. If you've lost that love, come back to that first love of Christ. First love. Say you're sorry. Say I'm back. Here I am, Lord. Because that love that he has for you continues to shower you with love. Okay, as we wrap this up then, and this is all just coming out of 13 as far as he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Serve as the kingdom militia. You're in the army now. I didn't want to be... Hey, when you receive Jesus Christ, guess what? You're in the army now. But you're in a good army. You're in the winning army, amen? We're in the militia. We're going to go out girded for prayerful conflict against the dark powers controlling so much of this present world. There is so much darkness on this world. I know it's beautiful out there, and you walk out there, the sun is shining, the sky is blue, but you walk out there into that, it's dark. Dark. Sin. Filth. Transgressions. Evil. Bad. But it's all in the spiritual area, in the spiritual realm of all these things that are happening. And I think sometimes as a church, we go out there and we get kind of lulled to sleep thinking like everything's good. Everything's good. You know, I got my church, I got my relationship, which is all good. But we've got to realize we're in the militia. And we have a battle to fight. And we're going to go, and you know this already, but you're talking in Ephesians 6:10 through 20. And this is talking about the armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. But in his might, not your might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The schemes. Schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and the blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may walk, you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, do what? Stand. I'm going through this battle. I've been going through this for many, many days, many, many weeks, many, many months, years. Stand! I know it's easy to say, but I want to let those around know that for me, when things happen and I know what's going on in individuals' lives, I lift up you guys in prayer for the situations that I'm aware of. But I think all of us at one time or another, we wake up and it's like all of a sudden before I go back to sleep, this name appears in my thoughts. And then, okay, Lord, praying, Lord, right now that you be with this person. Strengthen them. Undergird them. I know they're going through a tremendous battle. Then I think, okay, now I can go to sleep. Another name comes in. Oh, come on, God. I didn't say that. No, I don't do that. Okay, Lord, well, let's just go to the next one then. No, okay, Lord, this is the last I heard about this, and I pray for that, Lord. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, in a church family, when you're going through those things, we may not personally be calling you and talking to you, but the Spirit is touching us to think about you. And that I know you're going through a situation, and I hope and I pray that you realize you're not going alone. That you got a church family, you got individuals praying for those particular situations. And that's what's important about the church. It's what's important to at least share a little bit. You don't have to share the details and the nuts and the bolts. But if it's a situation, let somebody know so they can pray and be in prayer with you, you know? So that we're not on that path alone. That's where the strength of the church comes in, and that's when the devil fails. Because then the church body is the militia. And sometimes when we have a farmer or a co-militia person that's got injured, maybe they can't battle as strong as they used to, right? They're beat out, man. They're wore down. And the devil's looking at saying, okay, I'm coming in for the final kill. I got them down. And then all of a sudden, the church family begins, these prayers start rising up. And that situation is being lifted up in the heavenlies. And all of a sudden, as the devil's going this way, I'm putting the final... gets knocked out of line. And what he had desired to kill, steal, destroy, he gets pushed back. And then we continue to remain strong and keep praying and keep praying. Pushing back a little bit further. Pushing back a little bit further. But he's going to return, Jesus said. Right? He got him back. Get thee behind me, Satan. And he left him, but he said he would come back at a more opportune time. The opportune time, oh my goodness, is that when a person is down and out and weak and just wore to shreds. I don't care how strong you are. Eventually, you wear out. Physically, you know, think of a guy that's really, or a gal that's pumped up and really strong and all that. I mean, after a while, you can only go for so long. Adrenaline only kicks in for so long to keep you stronger and going beyond what you need. But after that, it kind of goes, boom. But it needs the church family to be praying. But that's what it's about. We're the militia. We're going to pray. We're going to put our whole armor on. Amen? Put the whole armor on to fight the devil. Because if you don't put the whole armor on, the devil's going to know what you're missing. And he's going to come in and attack that area. So it goes on to say, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all to do, but stand. 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 Having girded up your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, making the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Then he goes on. Helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. How many here is the saints? Well, we'll pray for you then. You're part of all. I liked how Miles, and we'll close with this, but remember how Miles said that, you know, the devil was kicked out, and he really doesn't have any power, but he's got a little, what do they call it here? Quench those fiery darts of the wicked one. He goes, the devil comes, and he doesn't have anything big, but he's got those little fiery darts. But after a while, they do burn. And after a while, you get enough of them, you start feeling it, I'm sure, you know, as we all will. But you got to realize the devil has no power. God cannot overcome. And what God's power exists with, and his protection, and his ability, the devil cannot come through it. There's just too many times that the enemy tries to come, and when you're a child of God and keep that fence, that bush, or that surroundings around you, a hedge of protection, we call it, right? We pray for a hedge of protection. Hallelujah. That we are protected by that of God. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I love you for this day and for your message, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we are built up and encouraged, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for who you are working in each of us individually right where we're at. I pray a supernatural time of strength in our bodies. I pray, Lord, for a visitation of the Holy Spirit into our lives, Lord, this week. I ask you, Lord, to speak into our hearts, our minds, Lord. I pray our minds are being continually renewed as we look through your word. I thank you, Lord, for strengthening us, Lord, for the battles that lie ahead. And Lord, your word tells us that the battle is yours. And so, Father, I thank you that your strength is within us. I pray right now for each and every one of us today, Lord. Touch us. And Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. We worship you and we praise you, Lord, but not with just a song, with our heart, our whole heart, Lord, we love you. And we want to continually grow and develop in that love for you, Lord, that cannot be taken away from anything in this life. We thank you, Father, for your presence here, more so, Lord, as you go with us. And I pray a blessing upon each and every one now as we depart, that you will keep us strong and in strength, going about our Father's business. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen.